Virtus is the Latin word for manliness, but it also implies excellence and courage. Welcome to Virtus, a show dedicated to inspiring and cultivating virtue, character, courage, excellence, manliness, and honor. I am your host, Bo Hutchess. Back in the saddle for another episode of Virtus. I want to thank you for being with me here today. Today, this episode is dedicated to Father's Day. I know that we had Father's Day a couple of weeks ago. It's in the past, but I wanted to offer a few reflections upon the idea of fatherhood and Father's Day. So if there's any type of person that is more hated in our society, it's got to be the father. It's got to be the patriarch. And I don't say that to, you know, make us as fathers say, oh, woe is me. You know, I don't say it to say that, but I just want to point out that, you know, the father in modern society, you know, through movies in particular and through TV shows in particular, is always portrayed as an incompetent, overweight, good for nothing person who just gets in the way of what the rest of the family is trying to do, right? We know this. We've seen this before. And there's three examples I want to point you to. One, Homer Simpson. Two, Peter Griffin. And three, Murray Goldberg. You might be familiar with the first two, Homer and Peter. You know, they're overweight. They're fat. They're incompetent. They're good for nothing. They're just idiots, right? But this Murray Goldberg guy, he comes from a TV show. It's not a cartoon like the previous two. He comes from a TV show called The Goldbergs. Now, I've never watched a single episode of The Goldberg, to be transparent, but I did see a clip about this particular character, Murray, on YouTube. And the scenario is, the situation is, this young guy comes to Mr. Goldberg, to Murray Goldberg, and he asks him, how he gets away with not doing anything for anybody. This young man, he's the type of person just to say yes to everybody. So he comes to Murray Goldberg to figure out how he has mastered the art of not doing anything for anybody. And Murray Goldberg says that, you know, this has actually been an intentional thing. This is my life's work. And he encourages the young man to LUMP. It's an acronym to LUMP, L-U-M-P. And he says, you need to lower expectations. You need to underperform. You need to mumble when people talk to you, and then call them a moron when they ask what you're talking about. And then you need to take off your pants when you walk through the door. And as he goes through these things, there are different examples, right? So the first one, lower expectation. His younger son, Murray Goldberg's younger son, comes to him and says, Dad, I need you to help me with my homework. And the kid pauses kind of halfway through his sentence and says, you know what? What am I kidding? You've never helped me with anything in my life. You know, I don't need you now. So he lowers expectations. The next one, underperform. The wife comes in and is furious. And she says something like, you call this a clean dish? That's it. You're never coming near the dishes again. And so on and so forth. And he comes to the last one, to pants. He takes off his pants and he says that no one expects anything from anybody who has their pants off. No one asks anybody to do anything for them when they have their pants off. And this old man comes, I believe it's his father, who asks him to drive him down to the pharmacy. But he realizes that Murray Goldberg is not wearing pants and he just says, forget about it. So this is the typical portrayal of the father in American society today. He's incompetent, he's overweight, he's good for nothing, and he's just someone who gets in the way of what the rest of the family is trying to do. But I want to encourage us, you know, not to be like that. Don't be the doofus dad. And that's really the point of today's episode. Don't be the doofus dad. And I want to remind you, you've probably heard this before, and I've mentioned it before, but if you haven't, the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 is a pivotal verse when we think about our own roles as fathers, but also the role of the father in the family. Ephesians 3:14 says this. The Apostle Paul says, for this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family on earth is named. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father in prayer, from whom every family under heaven is named. Now, the word family translated there in the ESV is actually the Greek word fatherhood. So you can kind of see the relationship there, right? For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, the Heavenly Father, from whom every fatherhood under heaven is named. And I want to offer a couple of reflections here. First off, we see that our fatherhood, our fatherness, is derived from the Heavenly Father. We are to be a reflection of the Heavenly Father. We bear the same title. We bear that representation to our family, which is an amazing thing. You know, the way that our children come to know the Heavenly Father is through our role as their father in life. You know, and that's a big reason why, you know, a lot of people either do not like the faith, do not like the Heavenly Father when they come to Christ. You know, they have a really hard time reconciling the Heavenly Father because they had bad expectations and bad experiences with their own earthly father. You know, I've talked to Christians like that. But it's also one of the reasons why, you know, some Christians have no problem, have absolutely no problem praying to God the Father, and they don't have to wrestle with that idea because they had a good father. They had a good earthly father that pointed them to the Heavenly Father. So we as fathers, we represent the Heavenly Father in our families. The names are similar. The Greek words are similar. The Greek word for father is pater, and the Greek word for fatherhood or family is patria. And that's the second reflection, that you can't even say the word family without the word father. Patria is the word for family, is the word for fatherhood, and you can see it right there, pat, how we would say pat, but pat in the Greek, pater, patria. Those are the two words that are being used here. So you can't even say the word family without saying the word fatherhood. I want you to realize that everyone in your house, everyone in my house has your name or has my name, right? You can't say the word family without saying the father's name. Everyone in my house has my name. My wife, who did not have my name before we got married, now has my name. My children have my name, and the community recognizes that this is the Hutches household, right? We are marked in the community after my name. The family is based upon my name, and that's a weighty thing. And this concept of, you know, reflecting the Father and being named after the Father is a very weighty thing. You know, and that leads us into this idea of the head of the house. You know, this idea is not an idea just, you know, solely derived from the Bible, but this idea of head of the house, the paterfamilias, was, you know, all over the culture that the Bible was written in. There was a person who was a leader of the household, who had authority in the household, who represented the household, and he was the head. He was the paterfamilias. And I want to encourage you, brothers, you know, don't, one of the things that I hate that is so grinding to my ears, you know, when I'm making plans with another family or with another man or talking about certain things, and the man says, "Let me check with the boss." And you know who they're referring to. They say, "Let me check with the boss." They're referring to their wife as the boss. And I absolutely hate that phrase. I disdain that. I despise that. Because the reality is, she's not the boss. You are. You're the head of the house. Everyone in the family is named after you. You are the boss. She is not the boss. You are the boss. And I absolutely hate that phrase. Let me check with the boss. Let me check with the one who knows what's going on. Let me check with the one who's actually running this operation. No, that's not how it should be. And a lot of guys have allowed that to happen. You know, they put in their 9-to-5 and they sit back and relax, and then the mother takes care of everything else. Don't be the doofus dad. Be engaged. Don't just put in your 9-to-5, but actually lead the household, exercise authority, take responsibility, be the head of the house, be the father of the family, the paterfamilias. You know, so we need men who aren't doofuses, and we need men and fathers to push back against this, stereotype in the culture, to not be the doofus dad. You know, don't be the stereotype that the world thinks that you already are, but fight upstream, fight against those things. You know, we need men and fathers who are dignified, who are serious, who are competent, who are responsible, who are ambitious, who have gravity, who have gravitas, and who are authoritative. You know, but at the same time, we do need joyful fathers and fun fathers and even, you know, goofy fathers in the best sense of the term. Not incompetent like the previous examples, not foolish like that, but goofy, you know, in the sense to where you can tease your kids, they can tease you, and those types of things. We need men and fathers who are easy to please, They're children, you know, they're easy to please, and they're approachable, just like our Heavenly Father. So because we reflect the Heavenly Father, we need to, you know, seek to cultivate those virtues in our life, cultivate what the Heavenly Father is like, and cultivate that into our own life. So don't be the doofus dad. Be competent, be serious, be dignified, be joyful, be fun, be easy to please, and be approachable. Don't be the doofus dad. Fight against that stereotype. Starting now, starting right now. Thanks for listening. Remember that pursuing virtues is a journey, and it's a road that we are always walking. With new information, it's now time to act. So be wise and take responsibility. Be courageous and do what you need to do today.